This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Saturday, September 9th, 2017. The 13th Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We are in a day, and I mean literally, in a day where we want our prayers to be as efficacious as humanly possible. Situations like the one in which we find ourselves are God's ways of showing us that we are in absolute control of nothing. No matter how many times we prepare, no matter how much we stock up this, that, the other thing, and I am by no stretch of the imagination saying, don't do that, I did it, it's a right thing to do to set up things like that. But if the Lord so deems, for instance, I would submit to you that on St. Martin Island in the Caribbean, a lot of people had water stacked up there because they lived through this stuff all the time. Their houses were filled with water. Now it just so happens that 95% of the buildings on that island don't exist anymore. So what were the piles of water good for? These are the little things that our Lord shows us through the simple things in life. That we are in control of nothing. The only true thing that you can do right now, the only thing that actually has an objective influence, and I mean true objective influence, on what could happen is prayer. If we sit in here, we hear words, and we see things, and we do things, and we say amen over and over again, which means I believe. And then when things like that, I hate being able to look and go, told you so. I usually use the analogy quite frequently of people who come up to me and they say, I've got this going on, and it is something bad. And I'll say, well, the first thing we have to do is pray. And they give me the eye roll, like, no, I'm serious. This is really, I am too. You need to pray. We serve the Lord Jesus Christ, who sat up in a boat and said, peace be still. And things didn't die down, or things didn't go elsewhere. They stopped. They ceased immediately. Immediately. That wasn't a one-time show that our Lord did to be an ostentatious display of what he could do. You want to let us know who we're dealing with? God. God, who's the only one that has sway over these things. A God who, with whom we have sway, if we in faith and obedience pray to him, we can truly receive what we ask for. After our Lord said, peace be still, and everything quieted down, I mean, just went away, and the sea was like glass, and they were just sitting there in the quiet, he looked at them and said, why were you afraid? Have you no faith? You know, we got to look at ourselves, you know, and that doesn't mean we're not anxious about stuff like this. I'm not head over heels about thinking about stuff that could be broken or lost and all that kind of stuff. But the bottom line is, why some abject head in the sand, not dealing with things or being overwhelmed to where you can't function? We serve a God who can fix these things. He can fix these things. He's done it in the past. He can do it again. We just need to pray. And pray rightly. But one of the ways he tells us to pray rightly is where two or three are gathered together in his name. He says, there I am with in the midst of them, or there I am with them also, in older versions. Our Lord is telling us something there. He's telling us that our prayers are more efficacious when they are joined one with another. Okay? When our prayers are joined one with it is more evident. That doesn't mean if you're by yourself, your prayers are meaningless. It means they're much more meaningful if they are joined with two or three others. Even more is better. You know, if two or three works, this has got to be killer. Okay? He says, where two or three are gathered together in my name. Now, that's not some elementary formulaic thing where, oh, okay, if I pray, I hope nothing, I lose nothing in the storm. In Jesus' name, you're going to get it. That's not a magic formula. He's talking about saying things in his authority. Gathered in his name and gathered in the authority of Christ. One of the things we have to understand about gathered together in the authority of Christ is being gathered together in the unity of the church that he established. So if our prayers individually work a lot, and if prayers of two or three others work even better, that means this is a whole lot better, and it means if we get together in Catholic churches, they're the best. Yep, they're the better prayers. When parishes full of Catholics who are faithful pray, things will happen. It has been that way in the past. Very few faithful people sometimes can sway over things. Story from way back when in Colombia, had some natural disaster coming from the sea, and a faithful person went out with the Blessed Sacrament, and it was averted miraculously. Those things are real. They're documented. They happen. So not just Jesus not being around, people of faith around and who are praying, particularly gathered together, the prayers are efficacious because Jesus is there in the midst of them in a very special way. St. John Chrysostom says, speaking of this passage, he says that what Jesus is talking about, there are people, succinctly put, gathered together in the authority of Christ and in the manner approved by Christ, and that's the church, the one he established on the back of Peter. Those are the most efficacious prayers. That's why it is imperative to be together on times like this. If you look historically at some of the, it really weirds me out. The individuals who look at me and say, no, I'm serious. You know, I got something real going on and you're telling me to pray. I am serious. I am deadly serious. There are other people who think that it's prudent to, well, let's not do that because let's not gather together because it's imprudent. It's dangerous. Did St. Damian of Malachi think it was imprudent to go to Malachi, the leper colony, and minister to the lepers? How many saints do we know of who are saints today because they died while they ministered to plague victims? Nobody goes near the plague victims. You'll catch the plague. Okay, thanks for the warning. And saints went and ministered to them. Why are you afraid? Have you no faith? Some lived, some did not. St. Damian of Malachi did not. But guess what? We all go sometime, and he's a saint now because of what he did. We have to appreciate the reality of these things, folks. Our faith is real. Jesus Christ is real. He really did calm storms. And through his intercession with the Father, we can do it again. All right? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe he has other plans. So be it. Then we are obedient to his will. But we need to gather together to pray. Even if we're at a distance. I got emails. Yeah. Are we going to have Mass Sunday? Yeah. I don't expect anybody to be here. And I mean that literally. But Mass is scheduled. Why? Why are you going to be there if nobody's there? Because just because we're not here doesn't alleviate us from our obligations. We are to honor the Sabbath day and keep it holy. So how do you do that if you can't be at Mass? You sit at home and when 8 o'clock strikes, you go, there's Mass being celebrated at Incarnation. Father might be there by himself, but Mass being celebrated, I for the next 45 minutes or an hour am going to read Scripture. I'm going to pray my rosary. I'm going to join my heart together with Father. Because the Mass is the pinnacle prayer of the church. Same thing will happen at 10:15. All right? I've always been of the mindset that the Mass is inviolable. You know, as long as I'm taking an air, my legs are holding me up, and I can get here, Mass is going to be celebrated. Okay, that's just the price of doing business. Like I said, I don't expect anybody here, especially the 10:15. But guess what? My eyebrows will be raised or somebody up. All right. But where two or three are gathered, maybe they take that serious. I mean, it doesn't have to be spatial. You don't have to be in a locale. He's talking about being joined together. You know, why? Why is that so special? Well, because Jesus Christ says so. You know, that's good enough for me generally, but some people are hard cases, so they need to know a little bit more. Why? Why? Because not just Jesus here says about being gathered together. There's a lot of other places in the Old Testament talk about not forsaking our gathering together. But it's old news. By that I mean the Old Testament. Psalm 110, verse 1, 111 if you use a newer version. It says, "Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the company of the upright in the congregation." Even when you're praising God for something that's going on good in your life, like the writer there, even if you're happy about something, yeah, you can be happy and praise God and give Him thanks at your house, but the Holy Spirit tells us it's more efficacious if you come together with the upright, in the company of the upright, and in the congregation and give your thanks. That's what makes it special. Because it's the strength, it's like a chain. There is a strength there, you know. One string is nothing. You wrap a bunch of strings together and twine them together. You can get it thick enough to where you can't break it. Gather together, try even in practical life, okay? How much more here? Because it's the strength of piety and love that is joined together. Notice that, piety and love. I think most of us would hear anymore. It's the strength of love, yes, and piety. And this commentator said, puts piety before love. If we are faithful and we are obedient, we're living a life that is in accord with what our Savior wants. Your prayers are more efficacious than the person who's not. But guess what? That person who's not, they benefit also from gathering together. Because this gathering together, it shows that, and the Holy Spirit communicates to us that the fervor of one will supply for the weakness and distractions of many. You know, we're all human beings. I'm celebrating and my mind goes where it ought not occasionally. Okay, I go to confession, but you know, it shouldn't happen. But it does. But when we're distracted, when we're gathered together, because we're gathered together, the Holy Spirit will use the fervor of one to supply for the weakness and distraction of another. You know, you'll snap back. You should be praying for one another during Mass, particularly during the offertory, because that's this whole the whole Mass thing. The whole celebrant is, you know, the celebrant should be of all the most holy, the most pious, the most focused, because that's what he's called to do. Why? Because he's like the strong link in the chain, and his fervor should supply the weakness and distractions of everybody. But the ones that are pious sitting here, same thing applies to them. We have to appreciate that. And when we're feeling weak and when we're feeling distracted, we should be giving thanks to God. We should get on the kneeler and say, "Thank you, Lord, I was distracted. I thank you that there are pious people praying," and pull up my slack a little bit. That's what our Lord Jesus Christ is talking about in one of the whys of wherever two or three are gathered together in my name. There I am in the midst of them. When this applies in your life, it's worth a risk on occasion to do things. Pointed out a couple saints before, but people who aren't saints, people who are even nameless, they really do things that stand out in their mind as men and women of faith. I'm a history buff. There's a picture from the deck of an aircraft carrier in World War II that's burning because it's been hit by so many kamikaze planes. It's actually a snippet from a film, a little film clip. And the film clip is a priest giving last rites to a sailor that's laying there while all this stuff is going on. Yeah. I would say in our day, well, Father's down in the chapel in there. He's praying down there. No, Father should have been up there giving last rites to the wounded on the deck while all the badness is going on. That's fervor. Do you think for one moment that men who were healthy and fighting at that didn't look over that and go, there's a little motivation right there. The priest over there who's unarmed, not shooting back at anybody, giving last rites to some. How awesome is that? You know, how many pictures have you seen of chaplains in the battlefield celebrating mass on the hood of a Jeep while one of his altar servers is on their knees but holding a rifle? You know, oh no, Father, you stay back in the back so you don't get hurt. Right. I'm sure a lot of them do, but the good ones aren't. That's fervor. That's fervor, and it's not just for priests, and it's not just for military chaplains, it's for each and every one of us. Because the more pious we get, the more faithful we get, the stronger our prayers are, and the quicker He is to answer, even in the way we want, because of our faith and piety. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.